Good morning, Gamecock fans. Today is Tuesday, July 21st, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. It's back. We're ready to rock and roll. 2026 Carolina football season is upon us. It's been a, sometimes when your team struggles or the team you follow, cover, do whatever we do here, struggles and everybody's kind of hurting. And then, the other sports on the men's side did not do us well. You're kind of just ready to get back after it. It's kind of like when you mess up and you're like, I got to do it over. Golf, a mulligan, if you will. And I think that in many ways, this season is about a mulligan for Carolina head coach Shane Beamer. And we're going to talk about that today. I'm calling it a season of defiance. Because if you look at Shane Beamer, really from the end of last year, his tone has been very defiant. It's defiant toward the prevailing narrative. I read all the hot seat lists, and that's, there's nothing you can do about that. You have two losing seasons in 3 years at South Carolina or anywhere else in the SEC. People are going to talk about it, especially when almost half the league is full of new coaches and, I put a new coach on the hot seat. Who else would be up there? I can't put Steve Sarkisian there after 1-10 and, the expectations at Texas. Josh Heupel, talk about him being on the hot seat is kind of foolish. So there's nobody else but Beamer to be on there. We've talked about that before. But I think if you know anything about Shane Beamer and his career at South Carolina has played out that way. And by the way, he's going to be, you're going to hear from him at 2:55 Eastern at SEC Media Days today. And then there's a list of other media availability for him or media sessions for him. 4:10, he'll be on with Marty and McGee, Marty Smith. It's a friend of his. And Ryan McGee on ESPN, I think it's ESPN Radio. So lots to hear. You'll hear from Shane Beamer quite a bit today. He'll also meet with the local media. Viral Jack Veltri is down there for Gamecock Central and the Big Spur. You can join, keep up with all of our coverage on that end today. I think you get to $1 5-day trial, and then you can renew annually at $5 a month, or you could just pay monthly $11.99. Go check that out, GamecockCentral.com, TheBigSpur.com. So we'll have complete coverage for you. But, here on Coffee, we're going to talk big picture like we always do with Carolina football. And it's one of those things where, because every time media days happens, and look, man, it's become an event that you don't really have to go to get the full effect of it because it's all streaming and all kinds of reporting down there, video, audio, whatever. The SEC Network, since it's come online, does a fantastic job of covering it. And they do move it around. It's not, all right, everybody go to Hoover and have a ball, at the Galleria there where the Auburn and Alabama fans. I know the first time I went, and Alabama people, five, six deep when Nick Saban got there. But it's fun, but it's in Tampa this year. It's in Dallas, it's Atlanta, Nashville, I think, is going to get it next season. And so it's one of those things where, you go into it, it's basically just a big bunch of press conferences. We love press conferences around here, right? But, the question is, what's he going to say? What's so-and-so coach going to say? And usually it's pretty canned, unless it was Steve Spurrier or Mike Leach. I'm curious to see what Lane Kiffin and those guys end up coming up with for us. That's an interesting storyline around the league. And I enjoy it, but it's really, it's overblown a little bit when we sit there and talk about that. But I think this year, because I normally wouldn't even say, well, I expect him to talk about his football team, and I expect him to be asked about injuries, and I expect him to be asked about Kendall Briles, and I expect him to be asked about the normal things. How's the summer been? But I think Shane is going to be a little defiant, and the reason I say that is because people are consistent with their messaging. Shane Beamer definitely is one of those. And since the end of last season, when he basically said, oh, well, we're talking about the playoff next year, here we go. That's bold. That's bold. You went 4-8 last year. South Carolina was close to the playoff. One win against LSU or Bama gets them in. At 9-3, they'd have been 10-2. They had a better resume than Tennessee that year. They played different schedules. They would have been in Atlanta had they won either one of those games, and they weren't going to keep the SEC championship game runner-up out of the playoff. Heck, they may have had a rematch with Clemson in the first round. How interesting would that have been? And you could have made a case for them, over SMU and some of those other teams. I'll even say 2024 Indiana was not as good as South Carolina. And that sounds foolish based on Indiana in 2025, but no, those are two different teams. And so it's not crazy, that he said that. It's crazy when you're sitting there at 4-8. It looks like that team's not very good. 1-7 in the SEC. Gosh, there's been Carolina teams that did not have a fraction of the players on them that last year's team did that have not gone 1-7. But this is the way the ball bounces sometimes. Sometimes you just hit a rut, and that was that. And they were in a lot of games, and it just did not go their way. And there are reasons for that that Shane Beamer has set about to fix. Now, he made the playoff comment before he hired Kendall Briles or Stan Drayton or Randy Clemens or Jason Smith, but Clemens. I say Clemens, like Roger Clemens. They're both from Texas, right? Close enough. But Randy Clemens, and you got eight, nine new offensive linemen. I mean, the problem areas have been addressed as best they can be. I mean, what do you do when you're struggling? Well, you change coaches, and in some cases, you need to change players. And offensive line, they did that, and they got a new system, and everything kind of works together. You're not going to hear this year about, oh, well, Randy Clements during his time at North Carolina under Mack Brown and Phil Longo, I guess, would have been the OC there when he was there. Oh, well, during that time, Randy Clements picked this up, and that's what the running game's going to be. I'm not saying there's none of that. Kendall Briles has a very eclectic and evolving playbook. But, last year you heard that about Lonnie Teasley, and well, he had this idea from this pro team, and it's just pro. You just can't do that. I mean, I've just never seen it work, man. I'm sure somewhere there's some kind of NFL style offense in college football that's working like a champ, and I'm crazy, right? But I've just never seen it work, especially at South Carolina. And so, you sort of look at it and you fixed it as best you can. Now, there's no guarantee for the outcome. But as far as Beamer and his approach to this season, like I said, I think it's going to be defiant. And I'll tell you why. I think number one, Beamer, even in the bad times, even in the bad times around here, it has been somewhat defiant, but you can interpret it multiple ways. It's the human condition is a fascinating one, and interpreting, my God, JC, interpreting people's motivations and personalities and things like that is hard. I mean, you don't know for sure, but he's been a little defiant, and I think in a lot of ways, it's just trying to keep it positive and remain focused and confident. Because inevitably, just like in life, bad things are going to happen on a football field. Bad stretches are going to happen. Bad seasons are going to happen. The unexpected is going to happen. And so, as a leader, what are you supposed to do? Oh, yeah, it sucks. And we're all used to, we got used to Steve Spurrier for 10 and a half years. And I think in some ways, we still like that, It's because Spurrier is just brutally honest about everything. Well, this wasn't very good, was it? No, shoot. And not all coaches are like that, And Shane is not like Steve Spurrier. Will Muschamp was not like Steve Spurrier. Sean Elliott and Mike Bobo, the two interims, not like Steve. Everybody's unique and different, right? Beamer likes to remain positive, but I also think he likes to remain confident. And that's why during the down times around here, during the Beamer era, and it has been a roller coaster. Check this stat out, right? So South Carolina, from the end of 23 till before the bowl game in 24, won 12 out of 16 games. And the losses during that time, We're by three. We're by nine at home to Clemson at the end of 2023. We're by three at home to LSU and two at Alabama. All three of those games, they had their chances. Now, there was a bad one, Ole Miss at home, when you had Rocket and Lenore's coming off injuries, and then it just wasn't Beamer's best day, anybody's best day in that one. But 12-4, that's a great stretch. How many ranked teams did they beat during that time? And a lot of big moments. Well, since that, they're 4-9. 4-9. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they're 2-9 against power conference competition. I believe that is the case. 2-9. Because they got a win over Coastal, win over SC State last year. They've lost 9 of 11 going back to Illinois. So it's a downstretch. It's a roller coaster has gone down. Okay. But every time that's happened, they bounce back, right? In 2021, they're sitting there. Gosh, that team probably after the A&M game on the road where they just weren't competitive. Then Zeb Nolan gets hurt. Jason Brown's coming in, third string quarterback. It just looked hopeless. Night home game against Florida. I was told they only scanned 59,000 tickets for that game. Did you guys know that? Looked bigger on TV, the crowd. But and then boom, they just blow Florida the doors off, right? And that season, 2021, which is a typical first season around here, you know, if you go back, really, except Lou Holtz, everybody's first season here, going back to Joe Morrison, has been better than expected. Joe Mo went 5-6 in 83, but they beat Southern Cal by 24. Had a really tough schedule. And that's 2001 was born that year and set the stage for 84. Sparky Woods' team, that first team after all that had happened and Coach Joe died, was supposed to be 2-9. Really tough schedule that year on paper. They went 6-4-1 and beat Steve Spurrier's Duke team in the opener. And Spurrier didn't lose an opener again until same home. I think, honest to God, I think the only two home, I'm sorry, the only two opening week losses Spurrier had in his career were both at Williams-Brice because A&M got him. A couple of years, like that, you know, in 14, which was a bad night. But, you know, and so Sparky was pretty good. 6-4-1, had Todd Ellis not gotten hurt, that team was going to a bowl for the third straight year. And that was a big deal back then. Brad Scott won the only bowl game in program history. Then you had Lou, 0-11, but year two was pretty good. Then Spurrier beats Tennessee and Florida for the first time ever. Wins seven, gets the Independence Bowl, could have won the SEC East if it weren't for a two-point loss at Georgia. Will Muschamp, that team, as limited as 2021 was for Beamer, 16 for Muschamp. I mean, look at all the freshmen they were starting on offense, especially key positions. 6-7, went 6-6, got in the Birmingham Bowl. You know, and then Beamer. So Beamer, you know, sitting dead in the water, turned it around. You're sitting dead in the water in 2022. It's not looking good. You go get slaughtered by Florida at the Swamp. That was ugly. And then, lo and behold, those two beautiful wins over Tennessee and Clemson. Okay, 2023. They're sitting there 2-6, having to win out to get to a bowl, and they won three of them. And on the Darude night, that was a pretty good Kentucky team that definitely did not want to lose to South Carolina. And they found a way to win it. That was probably the biggest win of that year. You know, and then 2024 happens, and then last year. So it's been a roller coaster, but he's bounced back every single time. And I think that kind of feeds in sometimes to the defiance. Sometimes coaches aren't talking to the media and everybody else. Sometimes they're talking to their players. Hey, look, we're going to get back up. We're going to get this fixed. And in the preseason, you need to do that, right? You need to do that. And so I think you'll see some defiance. Now, do I think Shane Beamer's going to get up there and pop off at the media and get emotional? No, I just think you'll hear him be a little bit more defiant, a little bit more like, hey, listen, here are our players. This is what we have. Here are our coaches now. this is our schedule. You know, he may not talk about the schedule. I wouldn't talk about the schedule. Don't talk about the schedule. Because it may be your life, it may end up being brutal. We don't know. These days with the portal, you know, we don't know. But yeah, I think he'll get up there and he'll speak confidence and a turnaround and a new day for Carolina football compared to last year. And I can almost say this too now. Would this be something I would do? Now, I wouldn't talk about 2 years ago. That's in the past. But I do think Beamer likes to remind people, like most coaches, of the good times. And says, so, hey, just a couple of years ago, we were here. And here's where we're going to be. Even Steve Spurrier did that. You know, he heading into his final season. He's like, well, we think we can get back to the top 10 where we were 2 years ago, fourth in the country. And didn't work out that way. But I hope it does with Beamer. And this is a different situation than that 15 team, which had some nice pieces, but they didn't really have a quarterback till they settled on Perry. Defense was a mess that year too. John Hoke did not fix it, but I mean, but you know, so you're probably not gonna, you know, not gonna, I guess, you know, you can't call back to that. You know, with Spurrier, so they're gonna be back in the top 10. And I don't expect anybody to go, okay, because Shane Beamer was defiant and confident, defiant, whatever you want to say. He's defiant against the prevailing narrative for South Carolina football. Most of the narrative. I see him picked everywhere from 8th to 12th to 14th in the league. You know, I see that, you know, as far as the preseason prognostications go. And I don't blame anybody for picking him anywhere. But, you know, I do think he'll be defiant against the prevailing narrative about South Carolina football and confident today. Now, do I expect him to kind of be a have a cringe moment or anything like that? No, I don't. But that's kind of the tone and you know that I think he will take. Now, as far as his career at South Carolina, he's 33-30 after 63 games. That means he's 2 games behind Steve Spurrier. I could probably go through all 5 years and pick out 4 or 5 games they should have won. Maybe pick out 4 or 5 they maybe were fortunate to win too. Maybe not that many. You usually know, you know, Beamer's 1-25 when losing at halftime against power competition. So maybe you do kind of know. But and I think he's 23-5 when leading at halftime. So maybe you do know. I don't know. I hope that changes this year, because if you're going to win and have a really good year, comebacks are part of it. Comebacks are part of it. You want to be the team that comes back, not the team that gets come back on, which has happened, even in wins sometimes. But if you're the Gamecocks, you know, and you're listening today, if you're a Gamecock fan out there, you know, I would look for that confidence. 33-30 right now. He's been to 3 bowl games in 5 years. He's one of only a handful of coaches to win 9 in the regular season. You know, Lou got to 9 in the postseason with a win in the second Outback Bowl. Lou Holtz did. But everybody else, I mean, Spurrier won 9 in 10, 11, 12, and 13. So he won 9. Then he won 10, 10, 10. Morrison won 10 in 84. Other than that, Beamer had one of the best regular seasons in program history, record-wise, and did it against a relatively challenging schedule. It wasn't like last year's schedule, but I mean, you know, Missouri was top 25 and won 10 games. A&M was in the top 10 when they beat them. You know, Oklahoma on the road is always a challenge, no matter what. You know, no matter what, it's one of the cathedrals of college football. They don't lose often out there. Vanderbilt was a top 25-ish team. Clemson was in the top 15 and won the ACC. So they beat some good teams. Should have beaten a couple more. But when you look at it, man, you know, I think that, you know, that's the high water mark. I thought that in 2022, at the time before they beat Tennessee, the program was really struggling with relevance. I mean, you know, the Muschamp era, Will didn't really have a lot of big wins. He had the one in like his second to last year at Georgia, That was just a shocking afternoon in Athens. But other than that, he kind of beat the teams he was supposed to beat, didn't beat the teams he wasn't supposed to beat, and then he started not beating the teams that they were used to beating, like Missouri and Tennessee, flipped it on him, and he was out. It was predictable. And so when Steve Spurrier walks out the door, and there goes the guy that all the media loves and they can't get enough of him, right? And then the meanwhile, Clemson is catapulting into, what they became under Dabo Swinney. It's tough. Georgia's under Kirby Smart's getting, building it at that time. You're kind of stuck. Mack Brown at North Carolina, that was a story. So South Carolina just kind of, I don't know, man. They still recruited okay and got some good players, but you need those breakthrough moments. And you need it in recruiting too, and it's paid off. That Tennessee game, I don't know that heading in, I'd have had any recruits on campus because it looked kind of bleak at the time. That's all you have to go on. And boom, they beat them 63-38. Well, then they go beat Clemson. And then even the Notre Dame loss in the bowl. It's one of the highest rated bowls of the year. It's a great football game. Notre Dame brings ratings because they got a national fan base. And everybody in the country saw Gamecock fans pack out the Jaguars Stadium. I mean, and that all helps recruiting. Those moments help. The Darude game helped recruiting, even though they had a losing season. Last year there were really no moments. The best moment was the opener. Carolina won a football game in the city of Atlanta for the first time in my life. Yeah. Fall of 76 was the last time they won. I was born in December. So it was in my mom's tummy at the time, the last time they won at Georgia Tech. And they had won, the one Peach Bowl, the one SEC title game, other subsequent trips to Georgia Tech where they won a game in Atlanta. Everybody's feeling good. And then the bottom falls out. And then it never got back. I mean, I wish they would have won the last one. I mean, that was really the worst loss, in my opinion, relative to level of competition. I think everybody else that beat Carolina was just better, especially at the time they played them. I don't think Clemson was a better football team. I do think Clemson had obviously a lot of talent, though, and I do think Clemson showed up and played one of their better games that day. And Carolina did not, especially on offense, especially in the second half. But that one's the worst one. Because you just got to think, that's not, that's Dabo's worst team since 2010. And they come in and win by two touchdowns on your home field, and you had a chance to break that streak. But that's in the past, right? We're talking about defiance in this season. And so you head into it, and I expect Beamer to be confident. And I expect, this to be a season that defines his tenure. In many ways, I'm not trying to put pressure on anybody. Some people ask, well, what does he need to win to keep his job? Well, I don't, first of all, I don't, I don't do, I try not to do win loss predictions. There's just so many scenarios that go into a given week, and you're never right about it. You're never right. I thought in Muschamp's in 2018, because they had gone from 3 to 6 to 9 wins. Jake Bentley's back, a new plan on offense. Oh, that sounds familiar. New plan on offense, right? Which worked. That offense was really good that year. It was the defense that let them down because of injuries. But I thought 11-2. And people are like, you're nuts. And I ended up being nuts. That team was not an 11-win team. But however, if you go back, they had 7-5 regular season. Okay, they blew the Florida game. So that would have been 8. Okay. The Kentucky loss up there was ugly. Jake did not have a good day passing the ball, Jake Bentley. But the crazy thing about it was in that game, there were players running wide open down the field. Carolina connects and starts making Kentucky pay, and then they can start running the ball on that one. I thought Carolina's defense that night played pretty well. I was 24-10. So it's not like they were, it was just a bad night. They don't have a bad night. Maybe they beat Kentucky. I don't know. In those days, they couldn't do that. They lost by 3 at home to Jimbo's first team at A&M. That could have been a win. Well, maybe 10. I don't think any chance at Clemson, even though they played well offensively. I think looking back on it, I fully expected them to beat Georgia. That didn't happen. And Georgia got on her. Georgia obviously was just better. But, in 18, so those scenarios and those games, I wasn't too far off. But I quit doing it after that. Not because I took heat for it, because I'll own it. But what I'll say is, like, if it is there's enough to get to a bowl, there's not enough to get to a bowl. Or I'll say, well, if everything goes well, there's a chance to win all of them or most of them. There's a chance to lose most of them. It sounds like Captain Obvious. I know maybe it's kind of lame. I don't know, but I don't do that. Some people are like, how would you? Well, it just kind of depends. What does the what is the record, and then what does it look like? Do you have a bunch of injuries? South Carolina's got depth this year, but there's some spots where they don't have a lot of it. And that's kind of common in the portal era. You look at these rosters and you're like, oh, they're pretty good here, but they get down to their second and third team, and the pickings are slim. I think it's a deeper team than last year, but some spots, I mean, corner, you start racking up injuries there, edge, where they already have injuries. God forbid, some of the big names. I mean, there's drop-offs, and that affects things. You're in the SEC. So if you have all these, if you have a bunch of injuries and you go 7-5, 8-5, but win a bowl and go 8-5, yeah, nobody needs to lose their job over that. You can't help the injury situation. All right. But, if you go 6-6 and, it's about as best as you can play and there's no injuries and it's just kind of the same old, and it looks like all the other schools, despite the talent and the way you've recruited, are better than you, and maybe there's a gap forming because you're going to lose a lot of players this year. Maybe that's a different story. It just kind of depends on how it all unfolds. But I think if everybody stays healthy, this has a chance to be a really good team. It's scary. It's going to be a little bit of a hectic year until week three and then week four with Mississippi State and Bama, because the first 2 weeks with Kent and Towson, it's they're going to probably look good. Maybe they look bad. Maybe it's lackluster. I mean, it doesn't, games against teams like that, it's hard to tell. Sometimes the score is pretty, but it's an ugly game. I remember that Charlotte game a couple of years ago. It's 56-20. Pretty beautiful score, right? In 2022. But man, that was a tough one early on. You're just like, yeah, God, this team. So who knows? Who ultimately knows what will happen there? But you got to wait a couple of weeks. The season starts later this year anyway. Last year, our first week, last weekend in August was Labor Day. Now the calendar flips at September 5th, and then you got to wait another week, Towson, and then so it's really September 19th, which is like during the COVID year in 2020. I think they started on the 26th. It's kind of like that, where you're really just not going to know anything, and then it kind of depends on how good Mississippi State is. Bama, I don't care how good Bama is compared to how they used to be. I'll take that. So we all have to wait a while. So it's going to be hectic, but I do think there's reasons for Shane Beamer to be confident, and there's good reasons for us to kind of watch it unfold. You don't have to solve everything tomorrow. With the questions surrounding this team, I think there's better coaches in place. I've always been a Kendall Briles fan. I've always been a fan of that offense. I did not know a couple of years ago necessarily if it was right for Lenora Sellers in the sense that what they did with KJ Jefferson, but I was explained to me, and this is why I was wrong about that, by the way. I'm admitting I was wrong. Is, with Kendall Briles, he's going to always use what he can use according to the player's strengths. You do not want to run Lenora Sellers all the power stuff all the time, like they did with KJ. KJ's like 240 pounds, just run you over. That's not really Lenoris. Lenoris can run you over. He's shown it before, but he's more of a finesse runner. Go look at the Clemson clips. That's who he is as a runner. That looks nothing like KJ Jefferson. They're just both big. And so maybe at the time I was like, oh, no, you don't want to get him killed. Oh, he got killed anyway last year. That was, maybe one of the dumber things I've said. But I've always liked Kendall Briles. I've always thought his offense makes sense. It's versatile, adaptable, modern. He's creative, aggressive, and fun, like I like to say. And I think it really fits with Sellers. I mean, I think like you look at what Lenora struggles with, and yes, there are some things. RPO game has to be mastered. Reads have to be mastered. Accuracy, short, medium range. Although he could leave with the highest completion percentage in the history of the program after this year. There's things to work on to make it work at a high level. But I like it. I like Deion Barnes. If you're going to play Sterling Lucas, who better than Deion Barnes? Clayton White's going into his sixth year. That's the longest tenured D coordinator at the University of South Carolina since Richard Bell back in the day. So there's just a lot in place. And finally, I'll wrap up with this. Had last year not happen? I don't know that all this is in place. Like, say last year they'd have hung 8-4. That 8-4, I've been saying this, 7-5, 8-4 was probably the ceiling for that team, considering the schedule and the opponents. You give them another schedule, they may win 10, right? But that schedule, looking back on it, hindsight, all that, probably. But if they won 7 or 8, Lenoris has a pretty good year. He goes pro, he's gone. You're starting over with Cutter Woods or a portal guy, a quarterback. I don't know if Kendall Briles gets here. I don't know if you fix the offensive line with how they did it. Same old guys, just hoping they get better, hoping the coaching gets better. You may be looking at a disaster this season. And finally, I was talking to my wife the other day, and there's an old saying in certain religions. It's like, we don't, the past is done. The future has yet to be, the story's yet to be written. We only have the present. And so how I look at it, and the reason why I think Beamer should be confident is in the present, this roster and this coaching staff and what I think about the schedule, just at first glance, it's pretty favorable to have a nice year. Now, what is the nice year? It's July 21st. We can determine that later. All right, the morning show and the show. We're back to 3 hours on ITG now, enjoying that part of it because, of course, we've got thebigspur.com. We've got fourquarterfriday.com. We got a bunch of stuff, but we're back with our guest rotation for football. We'll really start kicking in after practice starts like August 5th as we count down toward kickoff. But today we got David Cloninger coming in. He's going to be back with us from the Charleston Post and Courier. We love having Clonny. He's awesome. Preston Thorne is in with his normal Tuesday from 107.5, former Gamecock D tackle. We'll check in with Jack from Tampa, I believe, on Wednesday. First hour, Jamie Bradford and guests. Second hour, more guests. I join. Phil joins. Third hour, it's like what you know is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Now on podcast, it's the 2 hours for the morning show and then 1 hour for the show. If you're listening on podcast form, which we appreciate all of you doing, by the way. All right, check me out on thebigspur.com, GamecockCentral.com on the Insiders Forum right now. We have the question of the day: most costly loss outside of the Navy game in Carolina history. I think you guys know my answer there. This has been Coffee with JC Sherbert. It's fantastic that the 2026-27 academic year is coming up for Carolina sports. I'm in a much better mood. Hope you all are too. Holla at you soon.